finding your own subconscious beliefs. Because they're unconscious memories, we may not even be able to see them when we act them out, even when they're as plain as day to other people. But just because we may not immediately recognize them doesn't mean that we'll never know what these beliefs are or how they impact our lives. Along with others, we're all playing out those beliefs every day in our world. They're being mirrored back to us in the form of our most intimate relationships of romance, friendship, business, and career, and even in the condition of our health. When we think of the world this way, life is nothing more and nothing less than a reflection of what we believe both as individuals and collectively, consciously and subconsciously. The key here is that the 90% or more of our daily actions are responses that come from the reservoir of information that we accumulated during the first 7 years of life. If our caretakers responded to the world in a healthy, life-affirming way, then we benefit from our memory of their reactions. Rarely, however, have I come across anyone who can honestly say that they were raised in such an environment. The reality is that most of us learned our subconscious habits in an environment that was a mixed bag. Some of the beliefs that were so deeply instilled within us have led to a positive and healing way to deal with life's tests. Some have done just the opposite. If we can recognize the patterns that surround us as the people, situations, and relationships of life, we'll have a good idea of the subconscious beliefs within us that are their source. Interestingly, it's not uncommon to discover that these beliefs become most apparent when we're going through big changes or challenges in life. It's during these times that the issues that are sometimes the deepest and most difficult to see in ourselves tend to surface in our relationships with others, and when they do, it's generally in a way that can't be missed. Belief Code 18 reminds us that it's in our greatest challenges of life that we often find that our deeply hidden beliefs are exposed and available for healing. Believing into reality. It's not uncommon for people to have resistance to the idea that belief plays a huge, unseen role in their lives. After all, how much power could something as simple as a belief really have? Is it really possible to change our world, our bodies, or anything at all through an invisible power that everyone else already has? These are good questions. Perhaps the best way to answer them is through an example. In the late 1990s, I met a group of presenters at the conference venue for a late lunch and to talk about the presentations we'd be giving the following day. We'd been seated in the hotel restaurant for only a couple of minutes when we noticed that something was happening at the entrance where a number of guests were waiting to be seated. It was hard not to notice. The typical buzz of 200 or so presenters and hotel guests that were having their meals had suddenly come to an abrupt halt. Like the wave that moves through an audience when they realize that the show is about to begin, the whole restaurant quickly became silent. All eyes were gazing toward the front of the room at the group of people that had just entered and the man that they surrounded. I was one of the people who was not prepared for what they saw. As I watched the hostess guide the entourage of 10 or so people between the tables, I couldn't look away from the man at the center of the group. He was taller than those around him. He had peaceful eyes, thick, dark, curly hair, and an equally thick and very full beard that covered most of his face. He was dressed in a combination of loose-fitting garments, all white, that were almost indistinguishable from one another. Already in contrast to the Levi's and t-shirts that were the uniform for most of the people in the room, one thing was for certain. This man was definitely not a local. But that was not what had drawn our attention. Through the combination of his garments, hair, and beard, this man immediately drew a powerful response from the people in the room. I heard whispers comparing him to Jesus. As he walked past our table, his eyes met mine, and we acknowledged one another with a slight nod of our heads. It was then that I saw clearly what I had only suspected from a distance. From the center of his forehead, down to the bridge of his nose, and across the space between his eyebrows, I could see the wound that could not be mistaken at such close range. It was a cross, but not just any cross. There, emblazoned upon the man's face, was an open wound that formed the perfect proportions of a Christian cross. with no bandages to cover the wound that was defined by a combination of fresh and drying blood. As he passed and raised his hand in a subtle gesture of hello, I could see that his forehead was not the only place where his body held a wound. His palms were wrapped in a white gauze that matched his garments, that is, except for where the blood had seeped through the bandages and stained them. Almost instantly, one word popped in my mind, and as quietly as I could, I whispered it under my breath, almost instinctively. "Stigmata," I said. "This man is living with stigmata." If you've never heard of stigmata, it's a condition where a man or a woman has identified so strongly with the passion of Jesus that their body actually develops the wounds that match the description of his in the Gospels. And this story illustrates precisely that, the power that can come from the focus of one person's belief, in this case, the power of one man to mirror in his body the suffering experienced by someone else. In this example, we find that not only was the person with the belief changed, but the lives of those who witnessed his belief were changed as well. Immediately, my mind began to race with questions. The obvious one was simply, how? How does something like this happen? How could a man's beliefs be so powerful that they could manifest as the physical wounds that I was seeing on his body? I would later discover that the man was a speaker at the same conference, and that he had additional wounds on his feet and torso, all matching those described in the Gospels as the wounds of Christ following the crucifixion. So what was it about an event that happened 2,000 years ago that could influence someone so powerfully today? Or more precisely, what is it about this man's beliefs regarding that event that had such an impact on his life? The answer to this question and the mystery of the placebo effect are both pointing researchers in a direction that has made the science of medicine just a little less certain. Belief over body. Could a person's belief be so powerful that it actually mirrors his or her deepest feelings in the flesh of his or her body? Well, absolutely. While studies of the placebo effect may not be as compelling to look at as a Christian cross emblazoned across a man's forehead, this is precisely what those and similar studies are telling us. When we believe that something is true, our belief combines with other forces in the field of what Max Planck called the matrix to give instructions to the body that make our beliefs come true. Sometimes the effects are seen in the physical world beyond our bodies, as we saw in the peace experiment in the Middle East. Or, in the case of stigmata, they're mirrored within the body that's having the feelings. Consciously or subconsciously, our beliefs are part of the information that surrounds our world and us. From the regeneration of organs and skin to the healings that were described in the placebo experiments, the stuff we're made of conforms to the template of our deepest beliefs. And this is where the new discoveries of cell biology become so exciting, because they're saying the same thing, and they're doing so in the language of science. The recent acknowledgement that the field out there is influencing how the stuff we're made of works inside of our cells sent a shockwave through the world of traditional life sciences. Biologists, steeped in the belief that DNA is the key to unlocking the mysteries of life, now have had to reconsider their beliefs in light of the studies showing that genes are responding to information from the field surrounding them. What's important is that our beliefs, the electrical and magnetic waves created by our hearts, are part of that field. In other words, while DNA is certainly important and is definitely a code that carries the language of life into our cells, there's another force that's telling the DNA what to do. It's this huge rethinking that has led to an entire new branch of biology called epigenetics. Epigenetics is defined as the study of hidden influences upon the genes, influences that can come from a number of sources, including the beliefs that control our DNA. Well, this line of thinking is writing us back into the equation of life as powerful agents of change. These are the insights that will lead us to understand things like the placebo effect and explain why a man's belief about something that happened 2,000 years ago can manifest as the wounds on his body today. It's often said that what we believe of our world may be more important than what really exists. The reason? If we believe something clear enough, our subconscious will transform our belief into the reality of what we believe to begin with. In other words, it appears that the adage is true. We'll see it when we believe it. Once we experience something that tells us our previous way of seeing the world is incomplete, or even flat-out wrong, the hard part of changing our beliefs is behind us. Our direct experience is the catalyst that breaks the bonds of perception that may have kept us locked into our old way of seeing. Then we're on our way to something new, a different point of view. The key is that it happens spontaneously. We don't necessarily find ourselves sitting in the Starbucks and saying, "Okay, now I need something new to believe in." The new belief happens automatically in the presence of the experience that gives us a reason to embrace it. The question now is less about whether or not belief influences our bodies and our lives, and more about the beliefs that form the foundation of the health or disease, abundance or lack, and joy or suffering of our experiences. In short, what is it that we believe? This is not a question of what we think we believe, or what we would like to think that we believe. Rather, this is the one question that may be the single most powerful and revealing question that you may ever ask yourself. What do you really believe?